All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. It is your week 13 edition of the show, Thanksgiving week edition of the show, as the 5-6 Buccaneers, off of a win in the Meadowlands against the Giants on Sunday, now travel to Charlotte to take on the Panthers on Sunday. Of course, all the football action kicks off on Thursday. Three games on Thursday since it's Thanksgiving, the traditional Cowboys in the late afternoon, Lions in the early afternoon. We got a good one Thursday night with the Dolphins and the Packers. And you may be listening to this after all that has happened. But either way, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year sports-wise. College football's got the final regular season week with all the rivalry games. Florida State, Florida, one of those. There's plenty going on. And of course, the holiday itself, Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. So I'm recording this on Wednesday afternoon. Not going to be a very long show today. Just wanted to get in touch with all you guys and go over some things after what happened on Sunday as we get ready for the next one. And that's all it is right now. I mean, you always want to celebrate wins and be happy, but this is kind of a methodical type approach. Hey, win the game, move on. You can be happy about it for a little bit, but you know, the position the Bucs have put themselves in with how the first part of the season went now puts them in a spot where, you know, a win is just another step on the line to hopefully several 6 out of 7, 5 out of 7, whatever it ends up taking. Things went pretty well otherwise, like besides the Bucs win itself, the Commanders lost, Falcons were off, the Rams, 49ers, and Bears all lost. We don't know how this is all going to shake out by the end of the year, but looking at all the different scenarios and possible tiebreakers and this, that, and the other, hopefully the Bucs somehow catch Atlanta and win the division, and none of it matters besides Atlanta. But in the event that the Atlanta, let's say the Bucs do really well, and yet Atlanta also doesn't lose enough, Bucs could still get a wild card, and that's why all these other results matter. So this weekend was a pretty good weekend for the Bucs, and they go up to New York, and they get a 30-7 win over a Giants team that obviously is not in great shape, especially offensively. Tommy DeVito got the start. The Bucs defense did what they should do against an offense like that. So we've been saying over and over and over, well, hey, you know, we're not happy with how certain things have gone, but the Bucs have really faced a pretty tough draw. It's going to get easier, and hopefully they can show what they're, you know, the better side of what they're capable of when they get a little bit lesser competition. That's what they did. I mean, I know the Giants aren't great, but this is still the NFL. And any dominant win like that is impressive. And the Bucs were dominant defensively. It was great to see Kalijah Kancey making plays, Vita Vea making plays up front. Bucs had their way with the Giants offensive line all afternoon. Obviously, DeVito isn't a guy who's probably going to be able to do a ton of damage to you under the best of circumstances. And when he has that in front of him, there certainly wasn't much he could do. And the offense against the Giants defense that isn't as bad as the offense is. Giants front seven's pretty good. We talked about it last week. Lead, or at least they led the NFL in sacks going into the game. I'm not sure if they still do now. But a pretty formidable front seven. And the Bucs handled it, man, and did a great job. Didn't miss Tristan Wirfs all that much. And he's, as far as the injury report for this week, we'll go over it when we talk about the Panthers game. But he's out there working out again. We'll see if he ends up playing. It looked like he kind of was on track to play when I did the show last week. And then as the weekend got closer, I think on Saturday, they said, no, he's not going to play. So it wasn't quite all the way a game-time decision with Shaq Barrett, but with Tristan Wirfs. I saw Shaq Barrett on my paper because I had a note written there. You may have seen on Twitter or heard the news by now, Shaq Barrett, who was last seen with the Dolphins in practice, in training camp, then he retired, has now filed for reinstatement from the league. Dolphins still own his rights. And, I mean, I guess they could. There's something going on, obviously. He didn't just do this out of the blue. So I'm sure there's some sort of deal in place where he really wants to either play for the Dolphins or it's already been worked out that they're going to give him his release. And so people are speculating about him possibly coming back to the Bucs. I don't know if I buy it or not. And even if he does, you know, I'm not sure how much that would help them at this point. It's never bad to have another pass rusher. How much does he really rush the passer anymore? You know, I guess it would remain to be seen. I'm not in the know, like, as far as inside stuff, what's going on behind the scenes with him. So this is just me talking. And maybe a lot of you can relate to this. We've all gone through, especially when you get a little older, I'm 44. We've probably all gone through some times when maybe you don't feel as great as you used to, or you start to feel your age a little bit. you know, like when I was younger, I felt great almost all the time. But then temporarily, sometimes you don't feel great. Then you have a few good workouts and maybe you have a good week or even a good month or even a good couple months and you're feeling good again. And you're like, you know what? I'm fine. That was a momentary blip the way I felt a little while back. I'm good. Like I'm back to my old self. I'm good to go. I know that feeling very well. Because I'll go through phases in the gym where I'm feeling awesome, just feel like I can't be stopped. Then I'll tweak something, you know, some sort of soft tissue thing or whatever. Or I'll get too sore. I'm like, oh, God, I feel old. I don't feel like my... And all of a sudden, a week or two goes by and I get back to where I was. And I'm like, nope, I'm fine. Just like I'm 25 again. So maybe, and I'm just saying maybe, that's what Shaq Barrett is experiencing right now. For whatever reason, though, he has applied for reinstatement after officially filing his retirement papers earlier this year. Whatever happens with him, I just hope they get him out of the Under Armour Rise Under the Lights Flag Football League in South Tampa, because I don't need to have my team's ass get kicked by his kid's team just like it did last. I mean, he had one of the best flag football teams. I don't even know what happened if they won the championship. I assume they won the championship and went on. But we got our Shaq Barrett and Larry Foote have a team together. And they've, you know, obviously they've been together for a while. All the kids know each other. And my team was like a ragtag bunch. I didn't have a team that we signed up all together. I just signed my son up as an individual. So they gave me all the other kids who didn't have a team, or basically kids who've never played before. And we got our asses beat by 1,000 points by Shaq Barrett's team and Larry Foote's team. They coach a team together. So if I don't see them on the field this season over there at Skyway on Friday nights, I'll be happy about that. Whatever it takes to get him out of there. And if it helps the Bucks on top of everything else, I'm all for it. But that's something to keep an eye on. And so looking back at what we were talking about with the Giants game, you know, Bucky Irving has been talked about a lot all season long. And I always say over and over, my son actually rolls his eyes, because every time he gets the ball, I go, Bucky Irving, every time he touches the ball, he gets a little more than you think. If you think he's going to get 4, he gets 6 or 8. If you think he's going to get a no gain, he gets 2. If you think he's stopped in the backfield, he gets back to the line of scrimmage for no gain. Whatever you think he's going to get, he gets a little bit more on top of that. He pops off for 151 total yards from scrimmage. He had 87 yards rushing for an average of 7.3 yards per carry. Rashad White, on the same number of carries, had 37 yards rushing. I'm not picking on Rashad White. But on top of that, Bucky Irving, 64 yards receiving for 151 yards total. Love seeing the long play downfield with Baker Mayfield running down the field trying to block for him, and Irving dodging through tacklers left and right. Yeah, it was just that kind of day where everything's going well. 4 players for the Bucks with a rushing TD in the football game. All 3 of the running backs, Sean Tucker had one along with Bucky and with Rashad White, and then Baker Mayfield rushed for one as well. It's the first time in the history of the Buccaneer franchise, 49 years, that they've had 4 different players have a rushing TD in the same game. 11 different players had a catch. It basically looked like a practice scrimmage where teams are like, okay, let's try something with this guy. Let's get this guy a touch. They could just do whatever they wanted. It was that easy. And it's always refreshing, especially coming off of the losing streak and coming off of the bye, to see your team like that. On the Baker Mayfield rushing touchdown, you know, he did the Tommy DeVito, like Italian, like the fingers up thing, whatever they call that. I don't know what they call it. And everybody kind of had a good chuckle about it. I didn't care for it. Why? Like, and I don't know the nature. I know after the game, Baker Mayfield said, oh, no, I wasn't ragging on him. It was a tribute. He's got swag, blah, blah, blah. But unprovoked? This guy's going to catch shrapnel? Why are we picking on Tommy DeVito? Like, why are you mocking his celebration? That's what it was. Baker Mayfield can say whatever he wants, but, you know, why are we going to call some other guy out unprovoked? Like, he had nothing to do with anything. Did he say, if somebody talks about you first, then okay, go for it. I've said this before on this show, but we've got this culture now, and the way the kids are growing up with all the stuff they see on TikTok, everything's about roasting somebody. Everything's about a clap back. Everything's about, you know, getting off a blast. You don't have, like making other people look bad is just assumed to be normal now. And I tell my son this all the time. I know, you know, different generations have different unwritten rules or written rules or whatever. But I always tell him, don't do that crap. And if somebody does that to you, I don't, you know, encourage my kids to be unsportsmanlike. But I tell my son, like, somebody does that to you, like, give him a forearm shiver to the chest. Don't punch anybody in the mouth, but, like, you know, like flag football, some of these kids will catch a pass and maybe the kid defending him fell down or something. They stand over him and like bow up. If a kid does that, drill his ass. You know, and what is Baker Mayfield doing making fun of Tommy DeVito? I mean, come on. There's no need for that. So I don't care for it. And it's the same with baseball, not to get off on a tangent here, but I know people like to say, oh, these guys, let them have some fun. Screw your unwritten rules. That's for old-fashioned, old man yells at cloud, blah, blah, blah. No, have as much fun as you want. And this isn't even some old-time thing. To me, it's just, I mean, it all goes back to the golden rule. You treat others the way you want to be treated. Celebrate as much as you want with your own teammates. Why does it ever, don't ever bring your opponent into it unless they, if they shit talk you first or call you out, okay, then you can clap back, as the kids say, whatever. Even then, I don't think you should. I think you should be the bigger man. But especially if it's unprovoked, you don't need to, like, don't involve somebody else. Just celebrate with your teammates. Make it about, you know, you and your success. Go hug a lineman. Thanks for the block. You know, do that kind of thing. I don't get the whole, we got to call people out. We got to make people look bad. We got to mock this or mock that. Not unless Tommy DeVito had said something about the Bucks or something like that, which he didn't. If he had done that, then maybe I'd understand it. So I didn't care for that from Baker Mayfield personally. But he played great, got the touchdown. Then he gets a stinger. This is what I don't understand. I'm trying not to nitpick too much. It wasn't a weekend where much went wrong. But Baker Mayfield's in the game. It's 30-7 or whatever it was at the time. It was, I'm not sure if it was exactly 30-7 yet, but it was game out of hand. Like, no worries about losing the football game whatsoever. And even before this happened, I was like, you know, we're allowed to put Kyle Trask in. He shouldn't be on the side of a milk carton. You can get him some reps, especially because he could be the starter at any time. But even beyond that, just don't risk Baker Mayfield. Then he goes and he like puts his head in that pile. Didn't look that bad either, but he like stuck his head in there. Then he immediately like grabs his head and drops to the ground. You're like, oh my God, like get him out. I was like worried he already had like a neck thing, or he's going to go in the protocol and he's going to be out for two games. Like, what are we doing? So then he goes to the sideline, goes to the blue tent. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, at least now he's not going to come back in. Hopefully he's not going to be out. Hopefully they're evaluating him and he's fine. So not only is he fine, they put him back in the game. And I'm thinking, like, Todd Bowles, like, what? That's crazy to me. And I understand, oh, Baker Mayfield doesn't want to come out of games. He wants to finish. Of course he does. That's fine. I love that about him. That doesn't mean you have to let him. And then Todd Bowles' explanation afterward made no sense at all to me. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not reading the exact quote, but he was like, well, you know, he could get hurt on the first play of the game just as easily. What's the difference? Well, the difference is he's your starting quarterback. You're obviously going to have him in the game at all times when games are in doubt. When a game is not in doubt, there is no need to further expose him to the possibility that something could happen. Furthermore, on top of that, after he's already gotten a freaking stinger or a burner or looked like he might be out, and then he wants to come back in? No, just put Trask in for two drives. Thought that was nuts. But anyway, he's fine. The same can't be said for Jordan Whitehead, who, and I could tell right away, because I know from soft tissue injuries, I've had my share of those. In fact, I had one the other day in my quad, but an awkward tackle of DeVito when he was trying to score. It was a good tackle. He wrapped up around the neck. It wasn't a face mask, although it looked in real time like it could have been. If you saw the replay, it wasn't, and the referees didn't call it. But Whitehead immediately got up. He had that dead arm thing. He's holding onto his chest. And right there, I said, uh-oh, that's his pec. I didn't know if he tore it or strained it or whatever. You know, I'm not an ortho, and you can't tell anyway just from looking at it. But I knew right away what he did. And so initial speculation with Whitehead was that he did tear it and was out for the season. They gave him an MRI. Turns out the nature of the injury isn't as severe. He's still out for multiple games, but he could come back later in the season. It's still a tough blow. Now, luckily, you know, the Bucks have been able to heal up from other injuries and spots, especially on defense, but now Whitehead goes out. I know he hasn't been his old self. He's not the Whitehead we saw the first time he was in a stint with the Bucks, but he's been pretty good. He made some good plays on Sunday, and it's either way, you always want bodies and more depth. It's your starter. Now he's out. So Mike Edwards, who the Bucs just picked up, is going to see a lot more action. Also want to say, Christian Isian played a really good game. And every time he's on the field, I feel like I see him making play. I feel like he's one of the more underrated Bucs, and he was hurt for a while. But now he's back. And he's a guy at nickel that can really help them out a lot. Tyke Smith is another one who we don't know about for this week. I'll just give you the injury report for this week that we know about. And again, this is at Wednesday, early afternoon, so there's not a ton going on, and they're kind of just doing walkthroughs and stuff, so it's hard to tell. But according to Rick Stroud at practice, Joe Tryon Shoyinka, he had a little ankle sprain in the game Sunday, seems okay today. He was out there, didn't look out of the ordinary. Again, they're not going full go anyway, so it's hard to tell exactly. He seemed okay. Tristan Wirfs out there with the knee brace just like last week, working, hopefully getting closer to being okay. Not sure. Again, hard to tell without them being full go, but he was out there. Tyke Smith was out there as well, but just literally out there present. Hard to say definitively if that means he's playing or not, but at least he was out there. So, yeah, you've got Izzian playing really well. Mike Edwards can step up for Whitehead, and hopefully the Bucks don't miss too much of a beat there. Everybody else seems pretty healthy, and besides the guys who were just out for the year, like Godwin and all that. Mike Evans looked like he was all right. I was worried whenever a guy comes back from any type of soft tissue thing for the first time. I don't care how long he was out, because you never know for sure until you really turn the jets on if you're good or not. And you can go through all these different walkthroughs, and you can go through these sideline drills, and then you can go through three-quarter speed, and then you can even go quote-unquote full speed. But like we said, when he hurt it against Baltimore, there's full speed, and then there's, I'm already running a go route, but now there's a ball out in front of me, and I have to turn it into a little extra gear. Even though I'm already sprinting, I'm not sprinting. Let me shift into that really high gear that you only get to when you really, really need to call on it, and pop. You know, that's what happened against the Ravens. Didn't really come up in this game. He looked normal. I still worry. You know, anytime guys have hamstring stuff or stuff like that, the rest of the year I'm going to worry anytime he's like in a full sprint that it's just going to go or, you know, something like that. But he looked fine. Needs about 100 yards a game in the final six games to get to 1,000 yards and make it 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons. But that's where we're at right now as the Bucks get ready to go up to Charlotte for this 4:05 game on Sunday afternoon. Bucks are a 6-point favorite. They're 5-6 against the Panthers, 3-8. And let me tell you something right now. This game and both the games against the Panthers, you know, these are the ones we looked at on the calendar, on the schedule when we were struggling, when the Bucks were going through their losing streak, saying, okay, well, they got the Giants, they got the Raiders, they got the Panthers twice, they got the Saints. These are games that these should be layups. This ain't a layup, man. This is going to be tough. Panthers look good. They're better. Teams change throughout the year. That's a completely different team than the first time Bryce Young was starting earlier in the year, where he was eventually benched. And now he's back in there. He's grown. The Panthers took the Chiefs, just like the Bucks did at Arrowhead. The Panthers were at home, but they took the Chiefs down to the very, 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 very end of the wire. They were down by 8, tied it up in the final minute, got the touchdown and the 2-point conversion. They left a little too much time, which is something we know a little bit about, and Mahomes was able to get the Chiefs down for the game-winning field goal. But the point is, if this is a team that can go wire-to-wire, toe-to-toe with the Saints, or the Chiefs, I should say, this is definitely a team that the Bucs can lose to. This is not going to be an easy game. These division games, first of all, are never easy. And second of all, 3-8 tells you what has happened, but I think this is better than a 3-8 team. They're starting to find their stride. I think this will be a challenge for the Bucks on Sunday. And that's why, I mean, I'm happy they beat the Giants, but it's not like all is well again. I mean, this is going to be really tough for the Bucks to do, to make the playoffs, because they're going to have to really, really, really play with a very slim margin of error, if any. And I don't care what these records say. It's hard to do it over and over. Like I said this a couple weeks ago. Any one of these teams in one game, like if I said you had to beat the Giants one game for the playoffs, okay, well, we should do that. We're favored. Carolina, okay. With a, you know, who else they got? The Cowboys with Cooper Rush, the Saints, all these different matchups that are against bad teams. Any one of them you'd feel good about, but six of them? Never mind the Chargers, who are decent. That's the other game the Bucs have left. But these six games against these bad teams, I don't care how bad they are. It's hard to win them all. Like, they're going to slip up. And that's why it killed me to see the way the Bucs couldn't close out those games against Atlanta, or the one against the Chiefs, or the one against the 49ers, and on and on and on. And so They got the job done against the Giants, but they're going to have to do it again this Sunday. It's not going to let up. If they win, if you're into the whole playoff projection thing, which I always say, you know, it's for entertainment purposes, but I don't put a ton of stock in it. Bucks playoff chances go over 50% with a win in Charlotte on Sunday, according to, like, the New York Times has a playoff predictor, you know, algorithm or whatever. There's a bunch of them. If the Bucks win, no matter what else happens anywhere else in the league, they go over 50% likelihood to make the playoffs. If the Falcons lose on top of that, it goes up to the high 50s. And if the Commanders lose on top of that, it goes up into the low 60s, almost a 2 out of 3 chance, if you believe those things. I will say it is fun scoreboard watching. That's always been a fun part of sports, not just rooting for your team, but rooting for other teams to lose. So that Commanders-Cowboys game, for example, on Sunday, had a little extra zip to it if you turned it over to that after the Bucs game was over. And it was a wild game. But watching them go back and forth, hoping the Cowboys could pull off that win, that was fun, right? I mean, that gives you some extra incentive to watch some of these other games. Not that you need any of that. And, you know, right now, we just got to hope Atlanta hits the skids. They're coming off their bye week this week. The Falcons, in week 13, they're going to be taking on the Chargers at home. I like that the Chargers lost the other night to the Ravens. So Chargers coming off a loss gives them, to me, more likelihood they'll play better against Atlanta. And hopefully they can beat the Falcons and the Bucs can win. Then there'll be a tie atop the NFC South, which obviously the Falcons have the tiebreaker for. But that's neither here nor there. So first things first, though, if the Bucs don't beat the Panthers, here's the part I didn't tell you. The number goes all the way down to like 22% likelihood to make the playoffs. So, like Todd Bowles says, it's a cliche, but it really is true. It's kind of a playoff feeling to every game. They're not totally eliminated if they lose a game the way you are in the real playoffs, but they need to treat every one of these games almost like it's a must-win, because in a way, they pretty much are. And hey, Dave Canales, you know he's going to have something up his sleeve for his old team. Bryce Young's playing better. Panthers are starting to feel good about themselves. I wish they'd won that Chiefs game. If they had won it, I would think the Bucs had a better chance of getting them on a letdown this week, but them coming close and just coming up short, you know, it shows this is not going to be an easy game, and certainly it'll be the very, very late, you know, 4:05 start on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. There's a lot of other football between now and then, both in the NFL and college and all that, as I record this on a Wednesday, but save some in the tank emotionally for that one. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. I'm on Blue Sky now, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. It's all the same. I always make sure I get the moniker, no matter where I sign up and things like that. So with tomorrow being Thanksgiving, maybe you're going to listen to this on Thanksgiving. Maybe you're listening to it after Thanksgiving has already passed. I always say, every week, you know, always take chances to get together with friends and family. Have people over for the game. If you have friends in town or family, don't isolate yourself. Say, hey, come over. Let's watch the game later at my house. We'll get some food or something. It'll always make it more fun. But especially Thanksgiving week, where I know a lot of people are going to be hanging out with family already. Those of you that have family nearby, or if you're traveling or anything like that, you know, we all have a million different things to be thankful for, some more than others. But keeping it strictly to what we're talking about on this show, I am thankful, first of all, to even have a pro football team. Because I'll tell you what, all this stuff going on with the Rays right now, you know, I'm scared we're going to lose them, first of all. But even if we don't lose them, I thought back with all this stadium stuff going on back to 1996, and I remember the whole thing with the community investment tax and the Glazers buying the Bucks, and maybe they're going to move to Baltimore. It's before the Ravens were in Baltimore, you know, all these things. I know there's a million of these stories in all kinds of cities about teams moving or threatening to move and then finally getting their stadium. Usually they figure it out. Every once in a while a team relocates. But my point is, all this race stuff going on has kind of opened my eyes, and I'm just thankful we have the Bucks at all. Never mind that, what have we seen since 2020? The Bucks, a perennial winner, multiple division titles in a row, obviously a Super Bowl appearance and win in 2020, but even just beyond that, just relevance, you know? Like, it's just so much fun to be relevant, because the decade preceding this one, basically from 2011 through 2019, basically the 20 teens or whatever we're calling that decade, and Joe refers to this on the site all the time, it's the lost decade. Like, nothing ever seemed to matter during that decade. Mediocrity, losing records, shitty uniforms with stupid-looking numbers, turnovers, Greg Schiano, bum rushing teams on, you know, kneel down. I don't really remember anything. Like, I remember all these details about so many different things in Buccaneer history, and anything from 2011 through 2019 just blends together. I just remember none of it. So I'm thankful we are where we are today. Even at 5-6, having come off of all these playoff appearances, playing meaningful games in November and December, and hopefully January, that's really fun. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Joes. I always say it every week, but the JoeBucksFan.com giving me this platform, letting me have the opportunity to not just do it. Anybody can do a podcast, you know. I could do a podcast if I wasn't on JoeBucksFan.com and put it up on my Twitter feed or something, and three people might listen to it. But the exposure, being able to be on the number one place for Bucks coverage anywhere, TV, internet, or radio, JoeBucksFan.com. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for all you who listen. I get emails from you guys, or you guys chat me up on Twitter, or all the interaction. That's the fun of it, you know? I mean, I remember doing radio, and I loved doing radio. And when I got out of radio, I remember the hardest part at first, you know, was just feeling like, it's nice to have a voice, you know? Like, when you have a microphone, I mean, I'm just a fan just like you guys, and my opinions and thoughts aren't any more important than yours. But when you have a radio show, you know, you have that microphone, you feel like you have a voice. I can think something when I'm watching the game on Sunday, and I can go in there on Monday, and I can say it to a bunch of people, and people are listening. And so having that back with a podcast, not the same. Podcast and live radio are two different things, but it's still a microphone. It's still something to say. And I always encourage you guys, if you have something to say, email it to me, and I'll read it on the show. But it's nice to have the interaction and the back and forth and just being around it, man. Just like being around it. And, you know, hopefully we get to keep being around it through to the playoffs this year. But I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing family and everything before that. And then after Thanksgiving is over and past, we'll get down to business here because we got a huge football weekend. It's been great weather. Everybody enjoy it for what it is. It's different things to different people. But I hope you all have a great holiday weekend, and we'll be back next week. I want to get something done this week before the holiday begins. Next time I'm on, hopefully we're talking about a 500 football team if the Bucks can win and get to 6-6. But it will not be easy in Charlotte, I promise you that. And either way, have a great, happy, safe weekend and holiday. Get your workouts in. Earn that big plate on Thanksgiving. Nothing wrong with eating a ton. Just get under a barbell. Or go for a run or a walk or whatever it is you like to do. Make it count. In the meantime, I'll be back same time, same place next week. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the friends and family. Enjoy the football. And wherever you are, happy Thanksgiving. And good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks.